Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
For those of you, I see new faces in here. Maybe you are like, who is this woman? My name is Christy, and I'm married to the amazing, hunky Pastor Josh. We've been married, it'll be 21 years in May, and we have been at Hope for 20 years. It'll be 20 years in July. So we love this house. We love this building. We love the people in it, and we love this city. And so we are really excited to see what God has in store after this fast and where we're going. So before I jump into the thing that I really feel the Lord laid on my heart, I want to talk about a word that was given to me when I was 17. The Lord reminded me of it this past summer when he said, hey, I want you to know that the word that was spoken over you when you were 17 is happening right now. And I'm like, so much life has happened from then until now. I'm like, what was that word? And as soon as I said that, the Lord just kind of showed me. So I feel that I'm to say it and just kind of pray that over this house before I start. And so I'm 17, and I am headed to my friend's house on a Friday night. I do remember these details. And I had a little bitty job. It was like before I was going to college. And so I had a little bitty job with a little bitty pay. Okay, so those were the things that you like made sure that if you're going to spend your money on, they have to be really worth it. And so I decided that I was bringing queso to the Friday night. Okay, so I took my little bitty money and I bought the queso stuff. Okay, so when you invest in it, you're like, somebody's eating this queso. Okay, so I made the queso. I go to my guy friend's house and there's a bunch of people there and we bring it all in the kitchen and all this stuff, and we're really excited. We're talking, and we're getting the plates out and all this stuff, and we're meeting some new people that have never been there before, and I didn't know them. And so I went up, and I said, hi, my name is Christy, and this guy says, Christy, I have a word for you from the Lord. And then, like, everybody is quiet. And I want to say that I was like, yes. I was like, oh, the queso. I was, right? Because when you bring something that you know you spent the money on, you're like, oh, the queso. So I immediately was like, whoo, okay, back to, and I just put my hands out. I didn't know this person, but when he said that, it shifted the whole room. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that where you go for one thing, you think you're going for the queso and chips, and then like the Holy Spirit comes in and there's a word of the Lord for you? And so I am ready to receive. And this is what he said. He said, Christy, your feet are planted firmly on the rock. But he said, there is a storm that is coming, and it's going to try to knock you off, but your feet are planted in him. He said, I see the winds, and they are raging, and they are coming around you, and they are swirling, and they are going to try to knock you off, but you are firmly planted on the rock. And he said, I see the waters rising. And he said, I see them rising, and they are coming right up underneath your nose. And you think you're going to drown. But he said, you are firmly planted on the rock, and you will not overcome. He said, look that up in Isaiah. And he said, I feel that for you. And so I am standing there, and immediately the Holy Spirit says, don't focus on the storms. Focus on your feet being planted on the rock. And so I feel that today for this house, for the people that are in the family center, for the people that are online. If you are in a situation right now where you are like, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like the wind and the rain and the storm is about ready to overtake me. I want to take time to pray for you. I want you to stand. If you're in the family center, there's going to be people in there, so you stand as well. And if you're online, just put your hand on your chest. So if that is you today, would you stand up so I could just pray over you really quickly? Okay, thank you. Okay, just put your hand on your chest. So I just want to declare over you the word of the Lord over your life. And that is, the wind is coming and it is trying to knock you off. And if Jesus is inside of you, the Holy Spirit is around you, and you will not be moved off the rock of ages. You will not. Your feet are firmly planted on the rock. And I just declare over you that wind is not going to overtake you. That storm is not going to sink you. And those waters are not going to drown you. In Jesus' name, I declare that to you that's online right now. I just pray, God, that you would speak the word over them. Speak the word over them, the encouragement that they need to stand, the encouragement that they need to know how to sink their feet and their stance in you and you alone. They will not look to the left or the right, but they will look to you for their guidance, their strength, their provision, and for their healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you. Thank you. I just felt to say that. Guys, really quickly, I just totally jumped out of my notes and I'm all over the place, but I wanted to give an announcement really quickly. This isn't happening on the announcements yet, but this is for the ladies. I am hosting and leading a Bible study in March instead of our annual spring brunch. And so I'm doing something on Monday nights, and we are studying the women of the Bible. These fascinating women that I believe are leaving us some nuggets and some amazing life, kind of life lessons for us to learn. And so that will be on Monday nights at 6:30 starting in March. So I just wanted to plug that in there. But today is Celebration Sunday. Did you know that? Yeah, I named it Celebration Sunday last year. Because I was like, when it's the last day of the fast, it's not a thank Jesus it's over like Sunday, right? It's got to be a celebration Sunday because it's the last day of the fast, but he has done so many things, right? So, guys, it's celebration Sunday. You're like, yes. So, okay. So in the last page of our devotional that we've done, today's devotional is kind of looking back over what these last 21 days, what he's said, what he has done, what he spoke to you, what he did, and celebrating not only who he is, but what he's done and those beautiful moments. So we have this tradition in our house when it is somebody's birthday, we go around the table and we speak affirmations over them. That's not the only day of the year that we say that, but that is one that is designated that we are like, I see this in you and I love this about you. And so it would be an amazing habit for us to take from this time, these 21 days, and do that to the Lord, right? Not just because he can do all the things for us, but because he is so good even without all the things that he does for us. And so... In celebration of coming together, not only are we celebrating what he has done for you personally, but guys, we did this together. So whether you joined us on this 21 days for one day, maybe you were like dying and you only did it for 1 hour. I don't know. But you stayed and you fasted and you joined with us in unity. And I got to tell you, that's nothing short of amazing. Okay, when the body of Christ comes together and fasts together for 21 days, fasting and prayer makes the devil very uncomfortable. Okay, I want to read 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Since our weapons are not found in the natural, okay, our flesh and blood, the devil uses every tactic to get us distracted in our flesh to do battle. So he will exhaust you, is what I meant, not exalt you. He will exhaust you emotionally. He will try to exhaust you physically because he wants you to battle him in flesh. But our war is in the spirits. And the most effective way for us to put our flesh in its place and be mindful of walking in the spirit is to pray and fast. I don't know if you felt that over these last 21 days, but when you put aside your flesh, you are more aware of what is going on in the supernatural. Jesus was a man of prayer first before anything else. He fasted and prayed for his ministry. How much more do we need to do that and where we are going? So I just want to encourage you, you guys, we have taken ground as a church. When we come together and do this in January, this has been several years that we've done this. We have taken ground. There has been a lot of loss this month, but I can't help but think about, I feel the Holy Spirit say, but there's been a lot of growth. And so we have taken ground, and don't underestimate the change that has taken place in you. Maybe during the fast, maybe the Lord changed your perspective. Maybe the Lord gave you more patience. Maybe the Lord helped you with discipline. There is something going on, and maybe there was a lot more inside jobs than we see on the outside. But don't underestimate those things, okay? So we're headed into something different. The Lord dropped three things into my mind, into my heart to share on this morning as we're going forward. And what I saw really was this line of an army, which was us. And I felt like he said, in February, you're taking a step. The day after the fast, you're taking a step into something new, into new territory. Leave the old behind and let's go forward in what we're doing. Okay? So these are the three things that he dropped in my heart. I want to encourage you to ask him if there's any other things that he wants you to take from this time that we fasted together. And the first one is becoming aware. I feel the Holy Spirit wants to make us and help us become aware. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne. The Amplified Version, I love this version. It says, let's strip off the weight and the sin that so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. What God has brought you through during these last 21 days, I just want to ask you, don't be so easily to open the door to let it back in. There were some things that he broke off. There were some things that he rearranged and assess the situation. Tonight, when you're going through your prayer, the journal that we gave you or you have or whatever, go back through and see, how did you feel these last 21 days? What did God speak to you through these last 21 days? What did you see during these last days? But just don't be so easily swayed to just go back to the old, okay? In Deuteronomy, there are 30 chapters where Moses gives his final speech before his death, before the Israelites go into the promised land. And I was reading this during the fast, and in Deuteronomy 4, it starts out with him saying, listen up, Israel, there are rules and regulations that I am teaching you to follow so that you may live and enter and take possession of the land. Verse 3, it says, your eyes have seen. So the first one is like, listen up, there are things, like you're not doing the old, we're going into the new. Poor Moses, he has been with these people for 40 years, and he is like, my final speech. It's like it was like he spoke to him the first time, like, listen up, I've got some things that God wants you to know. And so the third verse, it says, your eyes have seen, and at this time, he's talking about what the Lord did for them. He's like, remember when you walked on the sea floor, remember the manna, remember when the enemies died and he took care of them, remember the water coming out of the rock, remember you had no sickness. Like, remember. He's like, it is so important, like Paul said last week, to remember. But Moses said two things that stuck out to me, and I read it in verse 9. I'm going to read it in the Message version. It says, just make sure you stay alert. Keep close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live, and teach what you've seen and heard to your children and grandchildren. But then he goes on to instruct Israel not to go back to what God brought them out of. And that was the first thing, slavery. which is really their mindset. And the second thing was the false gods. So they were instructed that where they were going, those things could not enter. It wasn't that he was saying, hey, by the way, guys, those things aren't needed. He was saying those things cannot enter where you're going. And the same goes for us, guys. I just want to just encourage you, let's not be so eager that we just pick back up our phone and scroll our lives away. Or we turn on the TV and the news and just let it saturate in our minds and our brains. I've realized on this fast that the Lord spoke to me and said, there is only so much place in your heart, Christy. There is only so much place in your heart. And it can't be following everything that's out there. So I just want to say this over you. Keep watch. Keep watch over yourself. That's what the word says. Stay vigilant. Stand at the door of your heart and say, I won't allow that back in. Stand at the door of your mind and say, I will not let that back in. I know what that did to me. I know the anxiety that that brought me. I know the fear that that brought me. And I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to a new place. A couple of months ago, I was in Kansas City at my aunt's funeral and went back to not the building of my old church that I grew up in, but another church that they kind of went to a new building. And I saw my pastor that I had growing up, and there were like tons of people at this funeral, and it was like a big party. Josh was like, what is this? And I'm like, this is like family. And it was really interesting because I started remembering, and I was like, oh man, surely remember when God did this to you, or hey, I remember when God healed Pat. Pat is still alive? My gosh, that's a miracle in itself. I thought he passed away several years ago. It was like this reunion of sorts because we knew what had gone on in everyone's family. Does that make sense? So when I was a kid, I would see prayer requests and hear prayer requests, and I would take them as a kid and pray for them, and I would go and check and see on the list if they made it off of the list. Does that make sense? So I'm like, are you healed? Not yet. Okay, well, pray for Shirley. And so this was this thing instilled in me that I am seeing these people and we are remembering things that God did in each of us. And so I want to encourage you with this. Tell someone what God has done in these last 21 days in your life. I know that last week Paul said, remember out loud, remembering the things that God has done for you out loud, maybe your family, what has prayed over you. But if the Lord healed your toenail, tell somebody. If the Lord healed you from fear, don't let fear hold you back from telling someone that you were healed of fear because you're afraid that fear is coming in worse than when you got delivered from it. Okay? Tell somebody so that we can join in with you and celebrate what God is doing in not only our lives, but your lives. So I just felt to encourage you in that because I feel like that your testimony, if I remember and you say I can share it, and I go and I hear somebody else have the same thing that you just went through, and I release that word, there's something on your testimony. And I believe it's going to go through and people are going to be set free because of what you were healed from and delivered from. And so it's really, really important. One of the other things that I felt really strongly in my spirit is don't be so eager to welcome in an old idol. That one was like, oh, man, I felt that. That false god, that thing that takes the place of where he is supposed to be in your life. Guys, we're going into a new place. We are. We are tearing down strongholds and we are moving forward. We are. And so don't bring anything that you're not supposed to bring in. Don't allow anything in your house, in your home, in your mind, in your heart that takes the place of where he is supposed to be. That is a false god. And I got to say this too, and I feel this very strongly. Don't create something just because your prayers haven't been answered and you haven't seen it, that you need something to hold on to see. Get in the presence. He's going to show you. And get with somebody who has been in the presence so that they can pray over you, so that you can begin to see and feel and hear. Okay. The second thing that I felt the Lord put on my heart was thankfulness. In Colossians 3:15 and 16, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God." Thankfulness. I was reading this story this summer in Luke, and it's one of my favorites, and I wanted to share it. Luke 17, verse 11. It starts with, "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And they were, and as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praised God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Jesus instructed them to obey and head to the priest, because the priest was the one who would declare healing and would allow them to enter society as normal instead of unclean. And a Samaritan was known as an unwelcome visitor, an outsider. But I love this story, not necessarily for the healing, because, I mean, I love healing and people being healed. But when I read this past summer, I started seeing the imagery in my mind of this whole story play out. And I mostly was moved by the one who was noticing. The one that was headed to the priest, because when Jesus said, "Go to the priest, you will be healed," he was the one that was headed there, but yet he noticed that it didn't happen when he got there. He noticed in the minute, the second that he noticed. And when he noticed, he turned. He didn't have to go to the priest. He turned and went back to the one that had set him free and healed his body. And he came face down and gave him praise and worship. My heart for the bride of Christ, my heart for this church, is that on our way to do what he has instructed us to do, on our way to our healing, on our way to our deliverance, on our way to our freedom and encounter, that we don't forget to notice and become aware of what he is doing in the second or the minute that we're on our way, and that we see and fall on his face and give him praise for what he has done, but also for who he is. I remember a season in my life as a young adult, I felt like I was on my face all the time, because I just felt like I needed to submit my life. There were times of prayer. There were prayer meetings we had. There were times where we were on our face crying out for God to do in the city, in our church, in our lives, what he could only do. And I feel and want to make sure that we don't forget our thankfulness, that we're not so set on the end result that we forget him, that we forget him. And the last one is The last one is be expectant, even when you can't see. I read this article, and I love this story. And it's about Death Valley in Southern California. It's known to be the driest place in North America and the hottest, and hardly any rain touches it. touches that spot, probably because of the mountains. But in 2005, something changed. And something amazing happened. Death Valley came to life after an incredible 6 inches of rain that poured into that dry land and apparently woke up flower seeds that had been there on the desert floor for possibly 100 years. People called it the 100-year bloom and drove from miles and miles. People from New York would drive to California to see a field of wildflowers that had never, ever bloomed before because they thought, it'll never happen again. I gotta say, there's something really special about this place where you're at and where you live. There is something special about Hope Church, and there is something special about Springfield and the surrounding areas. It's always been one of those cities when you try to leave and you can't, and then you leave and you come back. It like sucks you in. I have met people over the last 2.5, 3 years that have personally come to me and said, I have no idea why I'm here. I came from California. And the Lord said, move to Springfield, Missouri. And I'm like, wow. And then I've met people that said, I have no idea why I'm here. I'm from Wyoming. And the Lord said, I want you to move to Springfield, Missouri and go find Hope Church. And they're like, I don't even have a job. I don't even have an apartment. I don't even know what I'm here for. And I'm like, that is amazing. In the last couple of weeks, I have chatted with more pastors that have personally come to me and said, I want you to know that we're praying for this church. They love their church where God has positioned them and placed them, but they said, Christy, there's something about hope. And what God is doing in this city is definitely going to come through Hope Church as well as some surrounding churches. And they said, I feel like God is about to release something in and out of that house. And so I just want to speak this. The expectancy of there is a rich heritage in this city. Prophecies have been spoken over Springfield and the surrounding areas. I've read books about the beginning of Pentecost happened here in the 1900s. And I literally can name the streets where people live and where there's been tent revivals, where speakers have come and literally like scattered seed all over this place. I was connected to Springfield when I was 6 years old. And I would watch KY3 with my grandma at the Lake of the Ozarks, and I'm like, where's KY3? Why isn't it Kansas City news? And she'd be like, KY3 is in Springfield. And I'm like, where is that? It's like the Land of Oz. Like, nobody knows where it is. And I'm like watching the news. And I'm watching like Lisa and some of the other ones that were on there, Ned, the crazy like sports guy. Like, I would just literally lay on my belly and watch with the crackling fire KY3 news every night. Grandma, are we putting on the news? Yes. I'm connected to Springfield. I don't even know it. You are here for a reason. You're at your job for a reason. I was thinking about it this morning as I was praying and worshiping. There are doctors and nurses and Cox and Mercy and all the surrounding facilities that are called to Springfield to release hope over those places. You are specifically here, and if you don't know what that is, there is a God that is going to speak a word over you to tell you what that is. But I got to say this. There are seeds planted in this city and surrounding areas, and the Holy Spirit, when he hovers and moves over empty things that are not yet awake, the great thing about that is they come alive. And there is a rain coming. There's a greater rain that's coming. He is pouring out his spirit. And I feel like drop and drop and drop is coming. And then there's going to be a downpour. And it is going to hit this city. And there are going to be things that have been dormant for years that are going to come alive, not only in the city, but in your life. Words that have been spoken over you, prayers that have been prayed over you that you forgot, like I did when the Lord wakes you up and says, remember that word that was spoken over to you when you were 10 years old. It's for now. We love this city and we will not stop asking and we will not stop wanting God to move in this house and through this house. So I want to say this really quick. As we end this fast, don't just toss it off like, good thing that's over. Assess, evaluate. You are the keeper of your home. You are the keeper of your heart. You are the keeper of your mind. Be diligent. Be aware of what the enemy wants to easily entangle you with and cleverly wants to do it. Because there is an enemy, and that's a different sermon, but there is an enemy. Okay? This isn't a joke. There is an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy the word of God over your life. Make sure that our hearts are soft enough that we just don't take the healing and take the things that we want from God and forget to thank him and fall on our face. When was the last time you fell on your face before the Lord and said, thank you, just for your, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you. Thank you, not just for the healing and the time you delivered me and the time you saved me and the time that you kept up with me, the time that you turned my path, not just for that, but just because you're glorious and you are holy and you are wise and you watch over me and you created and hovered over the waters when there was nothing and it became life. In church, I want to speak this to you, whether you're online, and I can't believe I'm over time. This is crazy. Online or in the family center and here, don't let discouragement dictate your outcome. You are going somewhere tomorrow. I just declare that over you. You're going somewhere tomorrow. Because of what you invested the 21 days before, you're going somewhere tomorrow. So you are going to be blooming. Keep watchful eye. His reign is over your home, over this place. Be aware that you're going to bloom. Things that were dormant are going to come alive. Would you stand with me? Babe, would you come up? I just felt for Josh and I, we want to pray over you a blessing. That as you step into tomorrow, and maybe the Lord is like, the fast is going to continue for you. That's great. Whatever he is speaking to you, or maybe he's like, hey, you know what? I want you to erase this and this and this, or hey, I want you to be careful of this. Listen to him. But we want to pray a blessing over you and your families because we know that that ground was taken and things were torn down and things were put aside because we put aside our flesh and we were aware of his spirit.
Can we just lift our hands all over the room and just in a posture of receiving? Father, I thank you. Could we just welcome the Holy Spirit right now, just out loud together, just invite him. We welcome you to just come and breathe on your church all over the room this morning. We welcome you to just breathe on your church. Just breathe upon your people today. Breathe upon your people. I thank you that this is a work of the Spirit of God. This isn't a man-made thing. This is the presence and the power of the Lord resting upon a people. God, we just ask right now that this church and many other churches, but for our church, as we step out of the 21 days of prayer and fasting, that you would rest upon us. Come on, let's just ask him, would you rest upon us? Would you rest upon this house? Would you rest upon our homes? Would you rest upon our marriages, our families, our parenting, our friendships? Would you rest upon this people that wherever we go, that we would literally be a people of the presence of God, an open heaven over us wherever we go, that you could do what you want to do through us. I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray right now as we walk out of here that we would be filled with hope and joy and peace, and the power and the presence of God would be upon us. And we pray that, and we ask you just to absolutely be with us in every way. And everybody said this morning, amen. amen. Can we give the Lord one big shout and clap of praise together? Come on. Let's just give him thanks right now. Let's give him praise for his goodness. Yeah. As we go today, I'm going to ask Charity to lead in this song as we leave, but I think it's a powerful declaration as we go. God bless you. We love you.